Hi everyone, welcome back to another episode of It's Not My Fault the OASG Podcast is Not Popular, episode 54. My name is Helen.
My name is Justin.
I
literally had to think about it for a second because I want to think, do I want to make a little joke or do I want to just play it up for some dumb reason? But nah, it's just Justin.
Yeah, Justin, you should think about your intros beforehand.
But I don't. How you been?
I think we've gotten 4 inches of rain today, so,
Yeah, I've been here, yeah, like, good story, like, I'm a Yankees fan, and they went to Baltimore this weekend to play the Orioles, but they only was able to play one game because of the rain.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I can imagine it has been great up there for sure.
It's pretty darn wet. Like, if there's a piercing screech at any point in this podcast, that probably means the water alarm in our air conditioning unit is going off again, and I need to prevent imminent flooding in my apartment.
Is it appropriate to say that I'm like, wait, there's a water alarm?
Oh yeah, you can get these little things where if they sense water, they just let out this high-pitched shrieking noise, so you know, oh no, something is flooding.
I don't know why it surprises me or anything like that, but I guess I'd just say I've never heard of that until now.
Have you lived in a place with a basement before, Justin?
No, maybe that's why.
Okay, so you've never woken up, gone downstairs to look for the cat, and found the dehumidifier floating away while the
cat's trapped in the
washing machine.
Yeah, that's probably why. There we go. Got our answer. This is the podcast that answers all your weird and strange and normal questions.
I'm just saying, living as an anime fan in America, sometimes I have to think about things other than anime.
Yeah, we kind of all have to do that. We do. We really do. So yeah, I have some news. I caught up to the spring season.
Oh my god, but how many shows are you watching, Justin?
Yes, definitely not all of them, for sure. I'm definitely not doing anything close to what I did with the winter season.
This is probably better for your
life. Yeah, it probably is. And then, hey, I can probably see about watching some of my backlog shows, too. Like stuff that I could have watched a while ago, but haven't watched until I can watch now. Because I think, like, Wednesday and Tuesday? Well, really Wednesday. There's nothing I'm watching on Wednesday, so that's a free day for me.
Yeah, on Tuesdays I've got Gundam Build Divers, but then Steins Gate doesn't air until like really late in the afternoon, so I can't watch it at lunch at work, so I'm so grouchy. I've been having to watch more Kaleidostar.
Okay. Is Kaleidostar making you grouchy?
There are some good episodes, and there are some episodes where I just want to smack the writers around for like really piss poor writing of adults. So, yeah, I think I'm in about the same place as last time.
Oh, wow. Nothing is going to change, huh?
Like I said, there are some really good parts, and there are some parts where I'm like, what the hell are you doing? So it's a very up and down experience right now. I'm not entirely sure how this series has as many dedicated fans as it does.
Maybe you just have different tastes. How about that?
I mean, yeah, but still, like, there are clear problems with this, so I'm wondering how it gained fans despite having clear problems.
We'll just say Helen's over at this aisle, and then we'll just say everybody else is on that aisle. We'll go with that. We'll go with that. At some point, I'm going to watch it again, so maybe I'll figure out if there's any criticisms and stuff like that. Maybe we can do like a little spoiler cast where, well, it depends if I like it again, because it's been a while since I watched it, but maybe...
Yeah, and it's like 52 episodes. It's a lot.
Yeah, and that too, yeah. So we'll see. We'll see about that down the road. Other than that, watching anything else?
Let's see. Well, wait, weren't we talking about you watching the spring season first?
Well, I was gonna... Okay, I can continue my spring season talk. Okay, I'm watching 20 shows.
How is this down from how many you were watching in winter?
I was literally watching all the new shows last season.
How do you have this amount of time?
Like Sanrio Boys I was watching... Idolish 7 I was watching. I watched a lot of shows, and I regret it. Got too many shows, and at the time, like I was working like maybe like 3 or 4 days during the week, and then that picked up. Unfortunately, like when January happened, I think I was probably working like at least three times, maybe sometimes 4 times a week. But then that changed during like March, April, or somewhere around there. Well, I was even working like 5 to 6 days during the week. So Yeah, I just try to make as much time as I can, because I inevitably find free time. And this season, I'm pretty sure I can find the free time to watch some of these shows because of the when it airs. Because I'm not sure, I don't think there's any quite heavy days.
Saturdays are my heaviest, with like three shows plus. That's usually when the Hisomaso fan subs drop.
Yeah, I think Saturday is mine too, except like Conan may or may not air that week. Like this week it didn't air, so it may just be like a couple shows I'm watching. And I want to say, is it Monday? No, maybe not Monday. Okay, I can't remember. It's either Thursday or Monday, but I don't think it's Monday. We're watching the most, but all right. But enough of that. Let's get into what I'm actually watching this spring. First, the continuing stuff. Black Clover. I'm actually watching Boruto. Think,
as if you didn't already have enough long-running shows on your plate.
Yeah, so I didn't, right? And then this is coming from somebody that didn't actually finish Shippuden. Like, I stopped after the Pain arc and never watched, haven't watched an episode of Naruto since. Like, I just hear what's happened.
Yeah, I think that's farther than I ever gotten in the manga, so.
Yeah, and I think that's about it for stuff that was from the winter. Okay, and there's also Grand Crest War that I'm watching too. Still watching that.
Yeah, since you said you dropped Franks, which would have been the other winter holdover.
Yeah, it's totally soft dropped, I'll say. Totally soft dropped.
It sounds like it's gotten worse lately.
I hear that, and I hear like they have like a recap special or something like that, like kind of explains their motivations and stuff. That's what I hear. But I won't know until, who knows, maybe a year from now, maybe end of the year, I don't know. But I'm not ready to watch it yet. Okay, I think that's all the, like, continuing stuff from other seasons. How about some new stuff? I think I was saying I was watching Comic Girls, so that's one. The shorts. I'm watching pretty much all the shorts except from Alice and Alice. If I'm not watching that tells you it's very bad. It's on High Dive. It's not good at all. Crossroads, Crossing Time, Space Battleship Tiramisu, Love to Light Angle, and I think that should be it, right? Yeah, that's all the shorts that I'm watching.
So you're not watching You Don't Know Buma yet?
Oh, that's a short? I actually wasn't sure.
It's half episode, so I think that counts as short.
Oh, it's like a
15, 12 minute thing.
Oh,
yeah.
It's kind of like Takanomi then.
Or like Yama Musume.
Okay, I like that too. All right, maybe I'll consider it if it's any good.
Well, it's not like that in tone. I just meant like lengthwise.
Right. All right, maybe I'll see about it, check it out. I'll see. I feel pretty set with what I got, so I don't know. But I'll see. As for four running shows. And there we go, My Sweet Tyrant. I'm watching that as well. That's the other short. All those shorts. Sequels, although I think I'm only picking up a few sequels. Food Wars is one. I'm watching that. My Hero Academia, I finally caught up to that, and it's getting to that part in the manga that's getting animated. Oh yes. It is time. And I'm also watching, I picked up Amanchu Advance, the sequel to Amanchu. So picking all that up. And that's about it for sequels. New stuff. Gegege no Kotaro, Golden Kamuy, Hinamatsuri, Megalobox, and Tadakun and Uma Musume. Also, guess what? Guess what, Helen? I did forget a show.
Oh,
I did. One more show. Katana Maidens. That's it. But that's all I'm watching this spring.
All he says.
That's all I'm watching. Definitely, let's see. I guess best to kind of worst. Okay, best, I guess by far, is like My Hero Academia. Okay, not by far. There is one more show that's a close contender. My Hero Academia is really good sequel. It's getting to a really good point. Best new show, I would say, is Megalobox. it's really good. It's definitely gonna be up there as my anime of the year for sure. And I would say, I guess the worst, like, I guess Comic Girls is kind of the worst, but not really. It's good. It's fine. It's fine. It's a worthwhile watch, personally. And I think that's about it for spring shows I'm watching. I guess Tadakun's another one that I'm a little curious about. But other than that, like, it's been a fine season.
Yeah, I think the only thing I've picked up since the last time we recorded was that I did finish my Steins Gate rewatch, and so I've started watching Steins Gate Zero. And like I think I said last time, I'm really glad I rewatched Steins Gate first, since I'd kind of forgotten just how psychologically broken Okabe is towards the end of the original Steins Gate. I'd forgotten then, I felt like I could buy into his emotions more in Steins Gate Zero from having rewatched all of that. Otherwise, Steins Gate Zero is not a very happy show. It's just everything continues to be bad for Okabe.
No. Oh, poor Okabe.
Well, since it is kind of like a bad ending, it's like, oh, he didn't manage to save Kurusu after all. He's so psychologically traumatized, he kind of gives up all his mad scientist exploits. But surprise, weird stuff is still going on.
Right. Hey, you can...
Also, Daru got buff in, like, the 4 months that go between, like, August 2010 and then, like, December 2010. In the Steins Gate universe, Daru somehow, like, loses his spear belly and gets buff.
Oh, wow.
Which is a little odd. It's like, wow, that was fast. Working out usually does not produce results quite that fast.
You say, what, 4 months between them, yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. It depends on the workout, no? Like, what type of...
I have never had luck gaining muscles that fast.
I don't know if it depends on, like, how long you're training and then, what type of muscle, what type of workout you're doing and what you're eating. It really depends, I think. I don't think it's...
I mean, in my experience, belly fat is really stubborn to get rid of.
No, like, I'm saying... No, I'm not necessarily disagreeing with you. I'm just saying, like, I think it just depends. That's my theory. Like, I've seen, like, yeah, these workout plans and stuff like that on the internet, so...
But have you ever tried one of those, Justin?
No!
Yeah, I don't feel like you're as qualified to talk then.
Like, I want to just, like, look at, like, yeah, just something at the internet. That's about it. Do what they say. How long you work out, and blah, blah, blah. That's about it. But are you enjoying this season?
Overall, I guess. I'm just really grouchy that, like, most of the shows I'm watching occur over the weekend, so I'm kind of in a rush to watch all of them, and then I'll have, like, you know, lunch at work, you know, and that's free time when I can watch something and there's not as much to watch.
Oh! And you...
How did that remind you of another show?
The watching anime at work, that part reminded me of Wotakoi. don't even know how I forgot about that one, but I did. It's also my second... It's probably my second or third favorite this season.
Yeah, so, although this did prompt me to go looking at the summer scene, because I was thinking, God, I've got so many spring shows, I wonder how many of them are going to carry over into the summer, I wonder how busy my summer's going to be, and there are some interesting shows coming out this summer. And by interesting, I mean Total Garbage Fires.
I haven't looked at the summer season yet. I did.
Oh, so you didn't see me talking on Twitter about
Backstreet
Girls?
No, I did, because you put it on
yeah.
The, like, true story... I was at Five Guys when I saw all the line messages, but because I need a stable internet connection, I can't respond to any of that. So I'm like, what?
Oh, and you can't just use data with your line?
No, yeah, I can't do it.
Like, yeah, because, like, usually when I'm at conventions, like, when my phone's freaking out, I can't get, like, regular text messages, I can't get basic messages. Line always comes through for me for some reason, and it's,
yeah.
Like, the most... It's, like, the best way to contact me at cons, honestly.
Yeah, it was so weird, like, I was like, it's I'm, like, work, like... It just doesn't work. I don't get it. Like, I see your messages, but I can't see what's... I can't respond to any of it. The only comment for that is I'm curious to see how it's going to get, like, rewritten when it's, like, officially... Because I know somebody's going to bring it over. Somebody's going to do it. And they're going to...
I mean, it's not like they usually rewrite jokes or anything.
Well, no. So. It's more like how to rewrite the summaries. Because I guess the example is My Sweet Tyrant. I saw a description of that, which is like, this doesn't... This doesn't sound good, Japan. And then they actually show it, and I'm like, this is absolutely nothing like what was described. That was probably fan translated. So I see that, and I'm like, I am concerned about that. So I'm definitely looking to see. I'm going to wait until... If it's like a short, I'm probably going to check it out. If it's longer, I'm going to wait for opinions on that.
Yeah, I just don't see how any story with the premise of three low-level Yakuza members who are given the option between committing suicide or going to Thailand to get a sex change surgery and then coming back to Japan and work as idols is going to be remotely good.
Yeah, I don't know either. That's why we'll have to find out. People buy it.
How are you so optimistic?
Well, it's just a case where apparently it's selling well enough and it gets an anime, so... Whether that's
Justin,
good enough.
We know that the masses are not always the most intelligent. Please look at who we keep electing.
Nope, that's true. That's very true. I just have hope. Like, I don't know this author or anything like that. So I just hope that... I literally just kind of hope for the best of certain things. Sort of like, yeah, something's going to come out. We'll find out. Until then, until like it's summertime, etc. I'll keep a little optimism. Just a little bit. But it's perfectly fine if you want to ignore it. It's perfectly fine.
Yeah, I think you're crazy.
But I haven't really looked at the summer season yet, so I can't really comment on anything else happening.
Okay, so with that, we should probably get moving on to the news, honestly, since we've got a lot of stuff that just caught our eye over the past week.
Yes. Especially this Shirobako-like thing that just happened.
You mean National Donut Day?
Hmm?
You mean National Donut Day?
Oh wow, you're right. I totally forgot. Okay, so,
well,
yes.
What was the Shirobako thing that you started talking about?
No, this Kadokawa thing. It doesn't make you think about that situation as Shirobako with the author?
No.
I don't know. This kind of makes me think about that, about the communication
issue. Okay,
Justin,
start at the beginning. Explain to our listeners what's going on and why you think it's like Shirobako.
Okay, you wrote it down, so I was thinking, oh, okay, maybe you explain it. But, all right, let me open it up. Because I don't want to get this wrong. So, okay, I guess the general gist is back in, like, March, the original illustrator for Boogie Pop, the Boogie Pop light novels, Koji Ogata tweeted, he wasn't pleased with the character designs of the anime adaptation from Madhouse. So...
Upcoming one.
So the company, like, it took a while before they could actually talk about it publicly. Like, they did an internal review and stuff like that. After all that reviewing, they realized it was a mistake in communication, and they had to apologize. They apologized publicly about it. And the author accepted the apology, and he's looking to support the upcoming adaptation. My Shirobako comparison was mostly because I think I could be wrong, but wasn't there a situation like in the second half involving like an artist or an author like expresses dissatisfaction with a certain aspect of an anime? I could have sworn.
The second half of Shirobako was when they were doing an adaptation of a manga, and the whole problem there was that the editor was keeping the team from speaking directly to the mangaka. So they were, like, essentially wasting a lot of time, where if they'd been able to speak more directly, they probably could have cleared up a couple of complications earlier on.
Okay. But I guess that's what I was getting at, like, the just communication issue. That's about it. That's about it for me. But what's your take on it?
Why didn't y'all communicate better? Y'all probably have his email address. Y'all should have, like, had this worked out beforehand, because you are adults, and this is your job, and you should know better. I just don't have any sympathy for people who forget to communicate with others, Justin. I'm sorry.
No, it's understandable. Yeah, you would think, like, this is a very important anime. I think people are looking forward to it.
Well, I don't know about very important, but
Okay, I get what you're saying. I feel like it maybe it's like more of like a cult. It's like a classic for some people, a cult classic. But I feel like it's gotten some relative hype. Maybe not like Attack on Titan or sort of like Art Online level, but decent amount. That's my theory.
Yeah, so talking about older series that do have a larger fan base in Japan than the US, so Glass Mask is this... It started in the 70s. It's a manga about acting. It's been going continuously since then. And the magazine it was running in has folded. But the Glass Mask mangaka, Suzue Michu, says that the manga will outlast the magazine. She's going to continue drawing it to its finale. Considering this has been going on since my parents were in college, I'm not sure it's actually going to end at some point, but
Look, if Kochi Kami can end, Glass Mask can also end too. There it is. That's just throwing it out there.
Yeah, it just seemed a little odd for the manga to be like, yes, I'm gonna keep going, I'm gonna keep drawing it to the finale, and it's like, are you sure there's going to be a finale? Have you actually thought of a finale?
Kind of hope it's like Hiromu Arakawa, where she thought of the ending before she worked on, like, the whole series. Like, she knew how it was gonna end. Maybe the author has that in mind for Glass Mask. Maybe.
Yeah, so it hasn't been announced yet where the manga is gonna continue to be serialized, but there are plans to continue serialization, at least. Oh, and I guess that's kind of topical, since Sentai started streaming the original 1984 Glass Mask anime on HIDIVE, so...
I think that's... Shoot, when is that coming out? I think it's coming out this month, right?
I think they started putting a couple episodes up already. I think they're doing it like Legend of the Black Heroes, where they're doing some at a time.
Right, right. Okay. Gonna switch tracks a little bit into some licensing announcements that happened. Kodansha, once again, it's a new month, so that means new digital titles for their digital first imprint. And none of these, like last month had Heaven's Design Team, which interested me a lot, but I guess the Quintessential Quintuplets interest me, but only because of the name. That's about it.
This sounds like a bad Osomatsu San spinoff. Like they killed off one of their brothers.
Right. I guess the only noteworthy title was Kami Kami Kayeshi by Anna Toyama. That's only because she's had a couple works published here already. That's about it. None of the titles right now interest me that much. I should probably say what those are. I already mentioned Kami Kami Yeshi. Those Summer Days by Chika, and Karate Heap by Ichi Kitano. That's all coming out each week respectively. So Those Summer Days is coming first, then Kami Kami Yeshi, then Karate Heap, then the Quintessential Quintuplets. That's all that's coming out this month. But the one that's at least going to get my interest is Eden Zero, which is the temporary title for Hiro Mashima's new work.
Who does Fairy Tail?
Does Fairy Tail, the Rave Master, and this title is going to be sound pub worldwide. So literally everybody can see it and read it and give opinions on it, even in different languages. I feel like that's a rarity.
I mean, Crunchyroll does that a little bit, although I don't know what their regions are for sign-upping.
I mean more like the language part.
Okay,
I feel like that's something that's usually not brought up a lot. Like most of the stuff that gets like translated and stuff is in English.
I mean, Justin, that's because we live in the English speaking market, so we know about that more. So we don't really know what's going on in the French markets and the Italian markets.
Yeah, but Kodansha made a concerted effort to note the languages in this part, and I think this is also showing a Kodansha Japan thing too, where they wanted to make a note of that as well. Like, this is a really big title, so we want as many people to read as possible. And true story, I was reading Fairy Tail up to like volume 20 or 21. I got really tired of it. So I totally dropped it at that point. I don't even have the volumes anymore. Like, I gave those away. I don't know. I just stopped liking it. It just, something about it was off. So I don't know what to expect for this new work, but I am going to at least check it out because it is a new work. So, look, I'm here to see what's going to happen with this new series for sure.
And you put in a couple other new titles that are coming out as well, right? You're talking about a simulpub that Crunchyroll's doing? Didn't you put that in?
No, I didn't put it in, but Crunchyroll is simulpubbing the Domestic Girlfriend by Kei Sasaga, which is nice in theory, but like, again, they only have they're only allowed to put up the first chapter. And then they're basically putting up stuff that's uncollected volumes of the series, and then plus the, like the recent chapters. That's it. Like if you want to catch up to that series, you have to read the volumes that are out, and I think it's over 10 now. So that's a lot of cash for a couple volumes. I mean, a lot of cash for a series. That's, I don't know if it's, if not just pricing is what I think it is, like $10.99, it's like somewhere around there. Maybe it's good enough like Jihaifu, I don't know. But I'm not looking to read it right now, so somebody will let me know, or somebody will, other people will find, figure it out. But yeah, that's what they did. It's already up now, like they have a couple channels up now, and it's the official summer pub June 6th. By the time this podcast comes out.
Yeah. Oh, and there was one more that I put up that you didn't. Princess Jellyfish's Akiko Higashima. Higashimura. Oh my god.
Higashimura
is doing a new manga as well. She's collaborating with novelist Mariko Hayashi. So, the site hints that the manga will center on a middle-aged lady. So that's a bit of a challenge, since a bit of a jump, since Princess Jellyfish was mostly 20-30-somethings, Tokyo Tarabara Girls is 30-somethings, I know her autobiographical manga was like her as a college student, so I think she's just writing older and older people the older she gets.
I think the other thing is, since this is actually published in like a Shueisha, or it's going to be published in a Shueisha work magazine, I should say, I wonder if Viz is gonna like release it digitally on like their free manga service, like they did with their recent title.
Yeah, since if it's Shueisha, then Viz gets first dibs at it, and other companies can only license if Viz has explicitly turned it down, as far as I can recall.
Right, but I don't think Kodansha can get that though.
Well, if Viz turns it down, they could.
From their history, as far as I know, they don't really do stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah, Kodansha, yeah.
So other publishers, yes. Kodansha, no. Unless that changes, because they've been known as the Higashimura, like, location. So it's like, can they break tradition somehow? But I don't know.
Probably not.
I don't know. I don't think so, yeah. So we'll see on that. We shall see. I think we have some more Jump titles. We have some more Shonen titles to talk about, but in a different way, don't we, Helen?
Yeah, let's stop talking about manga and let's talk about anime. Since this is not my manga podcast, let's see. The Promised Neverland is getting an anime adaptation, which people were speculating on about a month ago. And oddly enough, it's going to be on the Noitamina time slot this upcoming January.
Yeah, you said that was weird.
Yeah, okay, Noitamina was originally intended for Josei audiences. It was literally originally intended for women aged 18 to 55.
And then they aired Guilty
now,
Crown.
Obviously, I enjoy the series, and I am within that age group, but... The Promised Neverland runs in Weekly Shonen Jump. It's shonen.
Helen, first of all, once they aired Guilty Crown, all bets are off.
Honestly, it was before even Guilty Crown that they started shifting the focus around Noitamina, but I will still look at some of the Noitamina things and think, oh, this fits better, like, After the Rain, and some things fit worse, like, God, Guilty Crown isn't even the weirdest thing they've
done. Buried Treasure?
Yeah, that was one of the ones I was thinking of. That was a pointless show, I'm sorry.
But it's not like they mostly do like stuff like seinen, like you mentioned Josei stuff, but it's not like they've done shonen stuff before, just not a lot. Like they did Silver Spoon.
I think Silver Spoon is seinen, isn't
no,
it?
No, it's a Weekly Shonen Sunday.
Okay.
And then they did July and April, which is serialized in monthly weekly magazine for Kodansha. Shonen magazine. Monthly Shonen magazine.
I was about to be like, monthly weekly magazine?
Yeah.
What are they
talking about? Yeah, that would be a new one. But yeah, it's not like they've shied away from Shonen before. And I think the reason why is this is not your typical Jump. This is your typical Jump. Like, it has some Jump callbacks in there, but this isn't your typical Jump title, honestly.
Yeah, and I've seen someone pointing out that as of now, basically every single manga running in Shonen Jump, currently Shonen Jump Japan, has gotten an anime adaptation, basically, or at least all of their big ones. Since also Demon Slayer Kimetsu no Yaiba is going to be getting a anime as well. I don't remember when it is, but
they didn't announce a date for that yet.
Okay, yeah. Since Viz is finally putting out the first volume of it, even though the first volume has been out in Japan for like a year, and they did like the Jumpstart.
Yes, and I'm still angry about that.
Yeah, it's really weird.
So,
yeah,
so. Still kind of angry about that. Like, this is kind of one reason I stopped reading Jumpstarts for now. They've talked about in podcasts or in other interviews that the reason that they can't add any more stuff to the magazine, which is it is sizable enough as it is for them, mm-hmm. it's just that they don't have enough space.
Wait, what do they mean enough space? It's digital.
Yeah, that's what they're saying. They said there's not enough space.
Do they need to buy another server?
It's either they need to. I don't know if there's a money issue. I don't know if they should make enough money already, but I don't get it. I don't get it either. But it just
said space doesn't really make sense when it's a digital only magazine.
Yeah.
Y'all need to elaborate a bit more.
So they're gonna do that. As soon as I hear that, right now I feel like it's gonna be hard to get rid of anything that's in a magazine for now. And then it discounts the fact that the issue right now is I think they do have a lot of titles now, but then they also have Hunter x Hunter, which they add, but obviously it gets on hiatus.
And they've got a couple of titles which are just monthly, like Blue Exorcist and Seraph at the End, which they just add in
when there's a chapter. They also have Boruto. They also have Yu-Gi-Oh!, the recent Yu-Gi-Oh! Series. World Trigger was in their magazine, but the author's been on hiatus. So they do have a lot of stuff on the magazine already. I guess the question is, I don't know if it's a logistics issue. I don't. It just sucks because I feel like something like Demon Slayer, like Kimetsu no Yaiba, could have been in a magazine because I read the first chapter to that and I was like, this has some interesting potential. I really want to read more of this, but
this is Justin's shit. He wants more of it.
Yeah, and I even voted. I don't vote. I actually don't vote that much in the Shonen magazines. Sometimes, I see the Jumpstart title. I think sometimes it's kind of cute and or kind of good and maybe it has potential, but nothing like Kimetsu no Yaiba made me want to vote for it. Maybe Act Age.
That's another one. I want them to bring back Act Age. I'm I keep seeing fan art, official art. I'm like, okay, I know this is still running in Japan.
That's another one.
Yet, give me the Shonen manga about a girl getting into acting, because this is just so out of their usual scope. Maybe they read your write-up of the first three chapters and thought, oh, no one's gonna like it, Justin. So you were really hard on it. Unnecessarily. I had to fight you as an editor.
Oh my god. Anyways. True story, I was talking about this with somebody about the current state of Shonen Jump. I remember when Bleach and Naruto was ending, I think there was some worry about where the future was going to go, and I think maybe for a year there might be a concern where titles were just getting dropped and stuff like that. Now I'm just wondering who can make it into the magazine nowadays, because I feel like
I remember people were like, oh, what's going to be the next big three, and it seemed like we're not going to have another big three titles, we're just going to have multiple smaller but still big titles, especially with the way Jump is pushing all these anime adaptations, because that will obviously bring more people into the manga once the shows get rolling.
Yeah, I fear for all the new authors now. I don't know how they're gonna make it in this current lineup is deadly right now.
Well, it's not like they all survived. Like that cool soccer one got canceled. So
I feel like I heard it was either that was it the dancing one or shoot. There's another title I think it was a dancing. It was another Jumpstart title. I think it involved dancing. Crap. What was it called?
I remember this a little bit. I'm not sure what the title was, but yeah,
it's kind of a long name.
Keep going, just gets canceled.
I think it was either that. I feel like that title you're talking about. I feel like I kind of saw the author. I can't really remember it. So I'm not gonna continue with that thought further. But yeah, it's a tough situation right now. Yeah, as you pointed out, titles sometimes just can't break through. And I think here, Ziga, which was kind of like a hype title from people, that doesn't look like it's gonna make it. And
oh yeah, I tried out that first chapter and I was not really interested.
So, yeah.
It was certainly different to have, like, what seems to be an actual kaiju title, but...
Yeah. But it's tough. Like, I don't think, like... we'll see what's gonna happen, but it's... Jump's in a really... It's in a good place, and it also is in a bad place at the same time. And I guess with these two anime... Like, The Promised Neverland, this is... The only thing that's going to be a problem is that if the Amazon deal is still going, then it's going to air on Amazon Prime.
Yeah, don't cancel your Prime subscriptions yet, folks. Or if you do, be prepared to restart them in January.
That's probably my plan. And then as for Kimetsu no Yaiba, yeah, this one, I feel like this is the one that Viz missed out on. They missed the boat on this one. Mm-hmm. The good news is they are bringing it out now, and I'm curious to see how it's going to do for them now and then to
start. And
the even
better news is that you're sending me a copy of it soon.
Yes, soon, once I read it myself and find out what happens after chapter 3.
After chapter 1.
No, after chapter 3, because I think, because Jump Slash usually do 3 chapters, so
yeah.
It's definitely after that. Yeah, it's really, yeah, I'm looking forward to that. All right, we talked about... talk about that a lot. Let's move on to some let's see. Okay, one more thing that I put in here that could have also been put as a weird news, because I literally put this in here for one reason. Negima is getting a stage play, and my first,
you know, I don't think that's actually weird news, because a lot of things get stage plays these days.
The thing is, I don't really... And I guess it's because they don't really come over here, but I don't really care for stage plays. But I'm really curious how this... Like, this series is already over and everything. Like, the only thing that's kind of running is UQ Holder. And... It's
well, UQ
sorta,
Holder is a sequel.
It's sort of...
So.
Like, from reading it, it takes a while before it really gets into, like, the sequel part of that. So it takes a while to establish that, honestly. So, like, I understand, like, they want to, like... I guess the weird thing is, like, they're going way back to, like, the start of Negima, like, the, like, way, way back. And I'm like, why? What are you doing? Just give me a, just the only thing you have to do right now is just pull a Hunter. Just restart it, reboot it, adapt everything. Just do it. There's so much good stuff left out there that hasn't been adapted or has been put in OVA format. Stop! Just put it all together. You'll make me happy. You'll make many people happy. I'm just saying.
Are you sure there's that many Negima fans
yes.
in America, Justin?
Yes. There should be. I believe so. But it really, the manga's really good. It honestly really is.
Yeah, I tried it in high school and I was like, nope.
Yeah, because you got annoyed by the harem stuff, right?
Basically, there didn't seem to be a point to it. Like...
That's why
the series just seemed kind of pointless
yeah,
to me
but
in general.
The thing is, this does a little bait and switch. Like, it obviously has, like, that love.
Yes,
Hina.
That's what everyone tells me, and I'm like, why do we need the bait and switch? Why couldn't we just start with the real shit?
I think, well, I'm going to say Akamatsu was kind of experimenting, but he laid the hints down with Negi being, like, a magician and his past. I feel like he laid enough hints that it could go
oh,
that
look at
way.
Me. I put in some foreshadowing in case I actually get to do what I want. I can just switch everything.
Hey, I think it's really good, but you have your opinion, so it is what it is. But yeah, they go do the stage play and then not do the anime. This hurts. Really does.
I mean, I don't think they really are too connected. And, I mean, the stage plays are often really weird. Like, the Air Gear stage play cut out all the female characters,
There's an Air Gear stage play?
Stage musical, even, and where they are rollerblading around the audience... Let me know if you need to send you clips about this later.
Please don't.
Them.
Please. Don't even.
They're really
don't,
funny
don't,
to watch.
Don't do
though.
It. Let's not. How about I just, like, yell at J Novel Club again for striking one more time? How about I do that?
Well, yelling at them makes it sound like you're not happy with them.
Or it's more like, how did they do this? Like, they kind of just...
Because Sam Pininsky thought, hey, Marie Okada's biography seems like it'd be really interesting, let's pick it up. And apparently some other people went, oh yeah, this is really interesting, let's make, like, a short made-for-TV live-action biopic out of it.
I'm like, what? This is, I feel like this is something that's really rare. I mean, they, like, J-Now was pretty new. Like, this is, I guess I can't go as far as saying it's unprecedented, but it's...
I mean, no one else... There are very few companies in the U.S. doing light novel translations. Like, sure, Seven Seas does some, and Yen Press does some, but Viz doesn't really, Vertical does, but they only do a few, Kodansha really doesn't. So if anyone was going to pick it up, I mean, it might make sense, it might as well be J Novel Club.
Yeah, that's true.
Vertical would have been the only one.
Yeah, that's that. True.
Otherwise, actually, I guess, yeah. But Ed's not there anymore, and well, Ed is, procuring other titles these days. I recently figured out which company he works for, so...
Yeah, I think there's some hints about that, but he hasn't really said publicly... So I'm gonna...
He said which titles he was selling at the booth, and it just took a quick Write Stuff search to be like,
Yeah, I think he'll eventually say, but I'll keep it... I'm not gonna say just yet. That's just me.
If I could do a Write Stuff search and figure it out, other people could too.
excuse me.
tossing it back into, like, the realm of, like, movies and stage plays and everything, the Yuri on Ice movie does seem to be in progress right now, since some folks in Japan have noticed that the ice skating rink where they did some filming for the TV show, where they filmed the choreographer skating so that they could get references for animating the skating routines, that the rink has been booked from, like, 9 p.m. to 6 a.m. in the morning recently a lot. And then, like, someone posted about being in Japan and, like, a really good skater and wearing, like, the motion tracking gear being like, I'm here for a movie! And the ice skating rink is also currently covered in, like, sketches from the show that are signed by the artist and everything. So we're like, oh, okay, you guys got this guy to help you with the routines for the movie. Okay, it's on progress. Which is funny because there was recently, like, this round table in a bar with some, like, producers from various companies and someone was asked, oh, how's the Yuri on Ice movie going?
oh no. well, I still haven't watched.
Oh shit, right, we were gonna work on that. Come on, MAPPA, get yourself some more money.
More money to do more things. Wow. Like, how popular can this series be where you literally had to put. Literally, I think this was like a Twitter thing where everybody just looked around and saw this and, like, oh, wait, put this together and put that. Wait, this is. This movie is a thing, isn't it?
Well, no, I mean, like...
Well, it could be a
thing. I mean, I've been part of smaller fandoms before, and if you were in even a smaller fandom, but you have a couple of people in there who can speak Japanese really well or even live in Japan, you can find out more things going on, and you can have, like, people who are translating, like, doing fan translations and stuff like that, and you can figure out more about what's going on in a series. Yuri on Ice does have the benefit of being a large fandom, so it's a little easier for people to put the pieces together.
Right. Well, are you excited to potentially see this movie?
Hell yeah, give me more days on this.
when do you think it's going to air? You think it's going to come... I guess it's...
2020.
2020. All right.
Well, we're still in the first half of 2018, and if they're doing... And if they are, in fact, filming ice skating routines to animate, that means they haven't really started animating much yet, and that's going to take a while. And then you got to do everything after that. You got to add the colors, you got to do post-production, etc. I just really hope that whenever it comes out, Funimation can do some deal to get into theaters here, like, as fast as possible.
Right.
Otherwise, you're gonna find, like, weeaboos, like, all booking flights to Japan to go see it in theaters there.
A couple more, well, one more, I think, anime news. Kadokawa may have established their first anime studio? Maybe?
I think Kadokawa's already associated with some anime studios.
Like, I know they're associated, but I think this is their... Based on the description, this is, like, their own studio, Engi, that they established. I don't think they're going to do anything quite just yet. Like the article makes it, they think that they're going to do a couple little things before they, like, actually do an anime.
Which makes sense, yeah. You want to start off with smaller projects to get a flow for things before going off and making, like, a full TV series.
Yeah. I'm just curious how that's gonna, like, is that gonna affect anything down the line? I don't really think so, though.
I mean, there's already so much anime coming out these days that having one more studio might be good, because it might mean more things can get adapted. Or it could be bad, because we've definitely been hearing some things about how they're not having a lot, as many animators as they would like to chain up to be the next generation, so this could put even more strain on the job market there.
Yeah.
It could be both.
Yep, the There, as always, there are two sides to almost everything. Almost everything.
At least two.
Yep.
Okay, so are we getting into the more serious news now?
Well, unless the manga magazine one isn't quite that serious.
Well, more manga magazines ending is sad.
Well, yeah, that's
this
true.
This one is called Yu. Yo? I'm not sure if you pronounce it the English way or the Japanese way. But it was a woman-focused magazine, and they're saying that the print magazine just can't compete with the changing trends in readership towards bound volumes and online reading. So instead, they're going to shut down the print magazine. They're going to try and focus more on their digital offerings instead. Which I felt was a fairly measured way of approaching it.
Right. But yeah,
and I was looking on ANN at the list of titles that are currently being serialized in there, and I don't think any of them are currently being published in the U.S., so I don't think we'll see any after effects of this on the English market unless someone was trying to license them right now.
Quite honestly, the only thing that's huge, and I guess like concern is the fact that this is just a long list of magazines that are either shutting down or just moving to digital only. And I do kind of wonder how that affects publishers here. I know some stuff, or at least I think some stuff that's being published in English, that's definitely getting. Because what's the magazine? Is that closing and moving digital? How does that affect the production schedule for anyone for the English manga publishers? I do wonder about that.
Yeah, that probably just varies magazine. Like, Justin, you're the reporter. You go out and go grab some people in the English manga market and ask them, hey!
It actually is on my list of stories to work on. It actually is.
Justin's goal is to interview everybody in the English manga industry.
Not everybody.
Close to it.
But yeah, I just wonder, it doesn't seem like it's going to stop anytime soon, honestly. I guess the thing is, I feel like, some of the stuff that's closed down hasn't been super, I don't know if it's super major just yet. I'm not sure. I could be wrong about that, but, if it's something, huge, let's say, Besatsu Shonen magazine, which is it should be monthly Shonen magazine. If that closes down, that'd be a big deal, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's a weird time for sure, because obviously digital publishers are trying to balance a digital manga print type of schedule and stuff like that, and it's not easy. It's definitely not easy. And It could also just be a Japan thing. Could be a publisher thing. I always hear the stories of publishers still being kind of stubborn with how they handle digital rights. So I'm just gonna.
Well, they'll either learn or they'll go out of business.
Pretty much.
Yeah, there's not much middle ground there. So.
Yeah.
Okay, so continuing on with the less than happy news. Let's see. So.
Start the Pixiv one, right?
Yeah, hang on one second.
Okay, sure.
Okay, so apparently Pixiv back in 2014 created a new idol group for the website, kind of. I had no idea this was going on, since I just see fan art reposted from Pixiv. But apparently Pixiv president Hiroyuki Nagata was an asshole and, quote, overstepped both professional and personal boundaries with at least one member of the idol unit. So, likely there's more, but only one person's come forward, and she said things like, if she was traveling alone, he would insist on the two of them would be sharing a hotel room and a bed there, and just, you know, not letting her work on part-time jobs to earn more money, since, she only earned, less than $300 a month from this idol side job at Pixiv, and just... It sounds like a guy making a power play. It just sounds really sleazy overall. So hopefully Nagata suffers some consequences for this, but...
He's suing, right? I think, if I'm not mistaken, he's suing or counter-suing, if I'm not mistaken.
I don't know how the legal system in Japan works.
I believe I was reading the ANN article about that, and I think they say he was counter-suing or something like that.
Yeah, he can. He's still in his position at Pix. Nothing official as of the article I'm looking at had been mentioned, has been released. So, probably hoping to blow it under the rug.
Well, he's hoping that, but then if I'm not mistaken, I think some Japanese Pix developers are leaving the service.
Yeah, I did hear rumors of that on Twitter.
Yeah, I think that's kind of how I caught up with that. Like, I saw, like, there was, like, this mass... Well, I'm not saying mass, but there are artists that were on Pixiv that are leaving the service. And Pixiv is a big service. This is something that they have to be taking seriously.
Yeah, hopefully.
Yeah, the fact that they're, like, the news is happening now and then they haven't looked into it is super concerning, honestly.
Also going on, okay, so Tokyo Otaku Mode are the people who both have a website where you can buy things from Japan if you're in the US, which is pretty nice. They also created the Otaku Coin thing last year, and it was very weird and kind of shady seeming. And so there have been some rumors that the co-founder and corporate officer, Takuya Akiyama, had left the company. But now people are saying, no, he's, hang on, wait a minute. Oh, shoot, cut that, I'm just starting over. Okay, so Tokyo Otaku Mode had been doing some restructuring, so there were some rumors that, Chairman Tomohiro Kaimi, wasn't with the company, but appears he still is. So, just kind of odd, when I first heard that he was maybe not there, I was thinking, oh, did they get too much blowback over that weird Otaku coin cryptocurrency Bitcoin imitator thing or not? But I guess they're just restructuring that this hasn't hurt their brand too much after all done.
Yeah, I honestly speaking, like Chris Delano wrote an article about that, like one of her recent columns about Otaku coin, and I read it, and I feel like I understand it a little bit, but I still feel like there's still something wrong here. Like I feel like there's some stuff that I don't get, honestly.
Cryptocurrencies are weird to start with.
They're just, yeah.
Stupid. Like, I've been seeing things talking about how, so the way you make these cryptocurrencies, especially Bitcoin, is through mining electronically, which involves a lot of power. And they're saying that we could start undoing, like, decades of progress towards using less energy and more clean energy just through the sheer number of computers people are using now to do Bitcoin mining. All my friends who build their own computers say that all the prices for parts have gone way up these days because everyone's building their own custom Bitcoin machines. Like, there's some coal-fired power plant in Australia that's reopening just so people can have power, you know, for their Bitcoin mining computers, more or less, and it's like, this all just fucking pisses me off so much. As someone who studied a lot about environmental stuff and alternative forms of energy, this all just really pisses me off.
Right.
You're not doing this fun little bourgeoisie thing for yourself. You are literally hurting the people around you doing this. Stop it. I'll smack you.
Did you say you'll smack people?
Not you, but like the big you, Justin. You know that English can use you in both the singular and plural forms.
I actually say you'll smack people.
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, I do a lot of fights lately. I'll do it.
Oh, God.
It's not my fault that all these people start talking about Pride Month and they start saying aces aren't part of Pride. It's like, then I gotta fight people on Twitter, so you know.
Wait, what the heck? Do I even want to get into that now?
No.
Okay. Yeah, because we got this other big topic we gotta talk about, too. Last week we were talking about, a couple weeks ago, I only put on, that New Game Plus was getting an anime adaptation because J Novel Club has the light novel title. They're publishing it digitally. Now, 2 weeks later, okay, we'll get into a little bit more, and now we have some crazy stuff happening here. This is another one that I don't want to screw up either, so I have the notes for that. So, after the announcement of the anime adaptation, there was some controversy involving Chinese and Japanese-speaking users on Twitter, or social media. I think it's just Twitter, though. There was a Twitter user who was saying that basically the original novel was centered on a Japanese protagonist who killed more than 3,000 people with a Japanese sword in a second Sino-Japanese war. And then...
Which was the conflict both before and during World War II in China-Japan. That's where, like, the Rape of Nanking was and all of that.
Yes. So, after then, he lived to the age of 94 and killing more people between that time. That's when he dies.
This guy's psychopath?
Dies, and then he gets reborn as an 18-year-old man in the end of the world. So, yeah, I think I want to talk about that first before I get into the other stuff. I was like, would J Novel Club really publish something like that? Like, you would think they would do their research into that. They should know better than that. So I had to actually look into this, and then, like, you see the description, it doesn't really mention that. So then I ended up reading a review about that, and it, first of all, it mentions a former Chinese mafia assassin and wartime hero who killed 5,000 men with his sword. He founded a school of fighting, and then he died, and then he got reincarnated. And then, yes, I trusted the anime forums, and they're kind of, I guess I'm obviously side-eyeing a couple of the comments, but the majority are saying that, like, either this isn't a different translation or somebody is clearly wrong, that there was no mention of any of that in the novel.
So it seems just, like, some people have also been looking at the original creator's Twitter account, where it seems like he's kind of nationalist.
Yeah, like he was making comments about South Koreans and Chinese people. It's not great. It's not great. So yeah, I'm totally just like, what is happening with this? This is bizarre. And obviously the author deleted his tweets. Took him way too long, obviously. I don't know what's gonna happen here. I don't think that's gonna change the anime direction. Mostly because, like, I'm so confused. Like, I would really have to actually read the novel itself, which I'm not really interested in doing, to find out. But, like, I feel like there's something weird about that. I don't think there's... I actually don't trust the description of the of what's happening here. It just feels like something got lost in translation. Either you're talking about the original, unless it's like a web novel or something like that, and I got changed to light novel. Something is up. But this other stuff, this is a problem. And I think that's something that they're gonna have to, either the production staff or J Novel Club themselves is gonna have to maybe speak about at some point.
Man, I'm just looking at the summary, like the official J Novel Club summary for the story, and oh my god, it sounds so bland.
It is, it, yeah.
It's like, old man dies, wakes up in space, young girl tells him she's God. He kicks her, she really was God. She's like, no, I need you and only you to help me with some things, you know. I'll make you 18 years old and really powerful and there'll be really great food. And it's like, just, oh my god, I'm just so pushed them all in there. And like, it sounds like a really boring wish to have, even.
I think you said that the last time. I really did.
I stand by my comments of 2 weeks ago.
I would agree with you. There's nothing really here that interests me at all, honestly. But guess what? This is gonna raise controversy. This is gonna raise interest in that now, because people like controversy, or some of them at least.
Be sure to avoid the A&N forums then.
Yeah. But yeah, I wonder if anybody's gonna say anything about it though.
Let's see. Should we end on a lighter note, Justin?
I think we're gonna kind of have to, aren't we?
Okay, so let's be like the news. Let's say we've saved our good news for the end. So I found these posts on Twitter. I did find a translated version of the posts as well. We can link to them in the show notes. But basically, there was a festival in Japan recently, and a whole bunch of people were making these paper lanterns that you float on the river. I don't know what festival this was associated with specifically. And some people had made, like, a Pimpimi and Pokoho from Pop Team Epic shaped lanterns instead of floating down the river. And then if you look at the pictures on the tweet, the next ones you see, there's just this giant fire in the middle of all the paper lanterns, and it gets bigger, and it just seems to engulf all the lanterns.
Not great.
And I'm sorry, but it seems very Pop Team Epic-ish to, like, make some lanterns of the main character's heads and have them just unwittingly set fire to everything else.
I don't know, just burning paper like that, it's not right. It's just not right. No, seriously, Helen, how the heck did you find this?
Someone retweeted it?
Yeah, okay.
Someone retweeted the translation onto my Twitter feed, and I was like, oh yeah, we gotta put this in.
I don't know. I just think this is a complete waste of paper. Even though this might be on brand with Pop Team Epic,
I don't think they meant to set them on fire, Justin. That's the funny part.
Oh.
I think they accidentally caught fire.
Okay. All right, gotcha.
The fact that they all accidentally caught fire and set everything on fire is the funny part.
Okay. I got it now. Now I got it. Okay, that makes sense. That makes more sense. Maybe they should have thought about that before. Like, they should have, like, think, hey, maybe if we do this, nothing's gonna burn just randomly like that, right? Nobody thought about that.
I don't think it's normally a problem. Just maybe the weird shape of their heads did it? I don't know.
Now that would be on brand. That'd be on brand.
Yeah, oh, and, so Tokyopop continues to stumble around, kind of, as DJ Milky, aka Stu Levy, is making a comeback and going to be writing OELs. Now, like, one for The Nightmare Before Christmas. You know, obviously based off the Disney property of the same title. But it's like, there's a picture on Twitter showing, like the Diamond Previews book or the equivalent of it. And it's like, storied by DJ Milky, and it's like, dude, that name wasn't even cool in, like, the early 2000s. Like, why are you bringing back this pen name? Why? We all know it's you.
Yeah, this is... Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, I saw that, like, a couple months ago. At least a couple months ago, because I just looked to see what's new on Amazon and... like, places like that, like Barnes & Noble. See what's new, and then I see that. I see Tokyopop stuff, and I'm like... oh boy. And then I see DJ Milky. Oh, hey! That guy's back. Why are you still going with that name again? I would say kind of grow up, but, like, this is... I don't know. I guess it would feel inappropriate for me to say grow up.
Yeah, he is kind of already a grown up, so clearly this advice is not going to help him.
So yeah, Tokyopop will not die, and they got some Japanese. They actually published some Japanese manga. I think it starts next month with Konohana Kitan. Or is it this month? I don't remember.
It's soon, but yeah.
But yeah, it's definitely soon. Yeah. So yeah, they're gonna stick around, and probably lose money on their first title because nobody's gonna buy it. But
yeah,
we'll cross that bridge when we get there. We're going to talk about Pokemon, and
there's been a lot of Pokemon news in the past week.
They had their conference, and there were people that were hyped about the announcement of Let's Go Eevee and Let's Go Pikachu, which is apparently like a, I think it's like Pokemon Go, but just like far superior. If not mistaken,
it sounds like it's also kind of a remake of Pokemon Yellow.
Yeah.
Also, how dare you? I'm still enjoying Pokemon Go.
I mean, it's going to be in a real console. I mean, it's going to be superior in every shape of way. It's every way.
Pokemon Go is great. It gives me an excuse for when I'm walking around outside. What is that girl doing walking? Oh, she's playing Pokemon Go. Well, no, guys. The real thing is I'm just walking around. I have Pokemon Go as a distraction so people don't think I'm weird.
And then they also announced that they're going to have a mainline RPG in the second half of 2019. Like an actual, hey, this is actually another generation Pokemon, so.
And they've got that Pokemon Quest, which I think is out on the Switch now, coming to mobile later, where everything is just like 8-bit cubes. And there's already merchandise of it, like they've already got like tons of plushies of them in the Pokemon Center stores.
I totally forgot about that, by the way.
Yeah, I wasn't totally interested about that, so it's like, I'll pass.
Yeah, well, I'm not interested in most of this in general. Like, I know some people that are, but obviously, and it's, if you look on your Twitter timelines, it's obviously like you follow other people that are interested, so. Definitely hear about that, but
it's not so much that I'm not interested in the main Pokemon games, it's just I cannot afford any of the consoles they're on, so.
Oh yeah, I just gave up.
I cannot buy these short term things for myself. I need to save up for big term things like a house in the DC housing market.
Yeah, I just kind of gave up on Pokemon after Generation 2. Like, I played Generation 2, got up to Crystal, and then I kind of just stopped.
Which, I did like Generation 3 when I played it.
What's that?
I did like Gen 3 when I was playing it.
Okay. But speaking of Generation 2, there was a space world. This was like a conference way back in like the late 90s. I think it was 1997, Space World, where obviously companies would have demos of certain titles, and Nintendo had a beta version of Pokemon Gold. And like, it got leaked like last month, and then somebody dumped it on like on the internet. People dutifully translated it and fixed it and everything, and I began crying internally, obviously. But I was like, what in the name of, what is this?
I liked some of the beta Pokemon. There were a lot of cats in there.
Almost all of them. I liked almost all of them. Even the freaking creepy ones. Like, there's this ghastly looking one, like, with like the two ghastly looking characters.
Did you see the Chikorita middle evolution? It's creepy.
Oh, I like that. You know what? I like that too. Even though it kind of makes no sense to go from
and what the originally one, was. The Ditto one is just weird.
Oh, did you hear the official name for that one? Or the Twitter name for that? It's called the Random Condom.
Oh my god.
Yeah, that, the Electric Tiger mainline.
Yeah, I want the Electric Tiger.
I literally was just like, Game Freak, Nintendo, why? Why would you deny us this? Like, literally, honestly, all those Pokemon could be in there, except a couple.
Yeah, like they've already got a Lickitung evolution now, so they don't need that weird Lickitung evolution.
Well, I mean, back in Generation 2, they could have had it, honestly.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, they could have, like, they had the Legendary Beasts. They looked very bad. I'm pleased that they didn't go with that. They had the evolution of, they had Noctowl, which kind of reminded me of, was it Hurao? Yeah, that was, I think that's what it was. They have the evolution of that. That kind of reminded me of the Pidgeot a little bit. So I'm glad they didn't go with that. And I think Girafarig was another one. I think that was kind of creepy. That was kind of creepy. To have some like dark looking thing looking back at you as you face the trainer. I don't know about that. Or face a Pokemon. Yeah, I wouldn't go with that one. Did you see the Octillery line of evolutions?
Yes, like, apparently the Rimuruid Octillery one, it was supposed to be, like, it was a gun and then a tank, and it's like, oh, I'm kind of glad they didn't go with that. That's interesting. It looks more like a Digimon than a Pokemon that way.
I get it, but and I think there's obviously some concerns about that, too, especially since this is for kids and stuff like that. But I honestly feel like that makes more sense than it currently, the evolution line is now. Like, you obviously get the hints.
Like, fish
maybe.
To octopus always really confused me.
And then also the Mantine. That Mantine. You remember the design of the Mantine? The Pokemon Mantine?
I don't remember what the beta
flying,
version of it
looked
like.
No. Like, the regular version. Like, the flying Mantine.
Yeah.
The ships. They had, like, a Remoraid attached to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's like the... Yeah, like, it's our machine... Like a flying machine artillery.
Oh,
yeah.
That's where they were going.
Yeah, that's home. Yeah. And then you see that line with the with Remoraid and artillery. Like, oh yeah, I get it. Yes. And then we even talk about the beta evolutions of Pokemon, the pre evolutions, because we know they ended up doing that for a couple Pokemon.
Yeah.
But then they had the Baby Meowth version, and oh my god, that thing is so cute.
And they've got, like, a baby Vulpix and a baby Ponyta, which honestly just sort of look like a Vulpix and a Ponyta really took out some videos.
Yeah, see, I don't think, I wouldn't want that either. But I think did you see the Pichu?
Pichu with Kirby design.
Did you see the Pichu?
Yeah.
That, I feel like they could have gone with that instead of the current one. And the current one's adorable, but that one's just a little bit more. It's a little bit more adorable. And smaller.
Yeah, and I'm not too attached to the actual Pichu design. I always thought that one was kind of dumb.
I think it's fine.
Although I've also always liked the Raichu design better than the Pikachu design, so...
Yeah. Like, I'm already thinking, like, what if they had, like, if they had that beta version of Pichu adapted and turned into a Smash Brothers character? They had Pichu in Melee, like, look at that. Like, they could have had that really super small Pichu just beating Mario and Link up. Oh, that would have been so great. Oh, and yeah, I, and then honestly, that was great, but the artist renditions of that, the fan artist renditions of that, was amazing. Mm-hmm. They're so good, and I feel like it just it obviously, like, they had to make choices. Like, these are obviously banned designs, so they could have obviously gone either way. And they obviously kept some designs too, but like, I'm looking at all this and I'm like, they could have added a lot of these to the series. I don't know if it could have been added because of space concerns, like space limitations, because it was on the Game Boy. Yeah. But man, I look at that and I'm like, y'all could have at least added that, like, in some way, and I think they added it. I'm not too sure, but I'm gonna assume they added some of those Pokemon in later generations, just like kind of like with a touch of a redesign. That's my guess.
Yeah, since there is like an electric cat later on, and there were a couple other designs where I was like, oh yeah, that looks a little familiar, but nothing like that Ditto.
I don't know, that might get the parents just being like, what is that thing in this Pokemon game? What is that?
Why did Ditto get so angry?
Yeah, this isn't kind of weird news. Although I guess it's weird from the fact that it's been uncovered after all these years. Mm-hmm. I guess that's the weird news. But just like the fact that it was reviewed, it's been really good. Like, I love looking at the artwork for that.
It's nice to see that the internet can still come together over Pokemon.
Yes.
And with that, I think we're done with this overly long podcast episode for the week.
Hey, this is kind of what we used to average back in the day.
But then we got better, Justin. So, Justin, where can we find you? Hopefully retweeting tons of pictures of cute Pokemon beta fan art.
Find me on Twitter at @Kami_Nomi. You may just see me just post articles and reviews and stuff, and maybe some truths about stuff I'm reviewing. Maybe, like, it's gonna come out this week, or my review of it's gonna come out this week. The manga's not coming out till next week, but I read Sleepy Princess and Demon Castle, and yeah, you'll find out what I really think about it
by the time this podcast comes out. Yeah, I think I saw some screenshots you posted somewhere of it.
Yep, I put it on Twitter. So yeah, I've been doing that, although we'll see for how long. That's where you can find me, on Twitter.
Yeah, and you can find me at Wandering Dreamer on Twitter, where I'm probably just going to be yelling a lot about Pride Month, honestly, because people want to pick a fight with me over this.
Look, you're just
going to... You can also find me on my other podcast, Manga in Your Ears, where we talk about manga. The title is exactly what we do.
Pretty sure you're just going to get in a fight with another person. That's my guess.
Like, only one other person? Justin, you underestimate me.
You're gonna average at least like a fight per week.
Oh yeah. That I'm on track already.
All right then. Until next podcast. See y'all later.
Bye.